Praise God, it's a good day. We're continuing on in our book, the Prayer of Protection, learning lots of things, lots and lots and lots of things. Let's just open in prayer and give this time to the Lord. Father God, we come before you with thanksgiving in our heart for this day that you've allowed us to be together here, Lord, and we can share your word and learn from your word. And it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And I just thank you for that, Lord. And we just commit this time into your hands, and we ask that you would speak to us this morning, that revelation, knowledge would flow. You know, Father, that's what really changes our heart, is when you reveal yourself to us. And I believe you'll do it with each one of us individually this morning. I thank you, Holy Spirit, sir, that you speak to us. And you cause the word to become real to us, life to us. And it'll bring nourishment to us, and it'll give us counsel and direction and provide everything that we have need of this morning. And Holy Spirit, sir, you're the teacher of the church, and I just ask that you would speak through me this morning, and that your anointing would remove burdens and break yokes off of us. And we just thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're on page 121. It's where we left off last week. It's under the heading of He Gives His Angels Charge Over You. I think we'll just go back to page 120 and start at that heading. It says, notice that Psalms 91:10-11 says, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. He goes on to say, do you see that? The way the Lord keeps us from all evil and all plagues is by deploying his angelic army. What a wonderful promise. When we choose to make him our habitation, he charges his angels to watch over us and to surround us with his divine protection. It says, what does God giving his angels charge over us mean? Let me illustrate it like this. If I were a general in the army and I said to a captain, Captain, I give you charge over Private Ryan. It means that this captain must protect Private Ryan at all costs because Private Ryan is now under his charge. Do you see? In the same way, the angels surrounded Elisha and his servant and protected them. They are surrounding us and protecting us today because God has given them charge over us to protect us. As I was reading that, I had a thought in my mind. You know how children are young, children are little, and if parents do the right thing, you know, when they're gone to work, they'll give somebody charge over those children to take care of them, right? To watch over them and to protect them and up to a certain age and that kind of thing. And you think about it, we're God's children. You know, we're to come to him as children, you know? And we may be adult in the world's eyes and all of that, but we are God's children. You know, that's one why, you know, he didn't let us grow up to a certain place and then say, okay, now you're on your own. Fix it yourself. Take care of it yourself. But we're his children. And because of that, you know, he'll watch over us and keep us. And not only that, but because of Jesus, we have a covenant with him, a blood covenant, that everything that we have need of provided through that blood covenant. And so, you know, this is just a wonderful provision that he has for us. Now, did you know that Psalms, I think this next section is real interesting. I hope you've read it ahead of time. Now, did you know that Psalms 91:11-12 was quoted by the devil when he tried to tempt our Lord Jesus? And we're on page 121.
Thank you.
He brought our Lord to the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. To this Jesus replied, it's written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. You know, we had a chapter where we learned about that. We need to say to the enemy, it's written, it's written. I had never noticed this, what he's sharing here. But he goes on and he says, the temptation of our Lord Jesus in the wilderness is the only instance in the Bible where the devil is recorded quoting Scripture. But the devil deliberately misquoted verse 11. The devil misquotes the Bible because he's the father of lies. And you know what? That makes sense. He couldn't give the whole truth in that Scripture. If you ever think about that, he could not speak the whole truth because he's the father of lies. Verse 11 actually reads, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. The devil left that part out. And then he went on and he said, I asked the Lord why the devil had left out the words to keep you in all your ways. And he directed me to Proverbs 3, verse 6 through 7. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You see, the devil didn't want to say the words to keep you in all your ways, because that would be tantamount to reminding believers of Proverbs 3, 6 through 7, to acknowledge God in all our ways. You know, the devil wouldn't acknowledge God, so he wasn't going to tell him, you know, to acknowledge God. So he conveniently left out that whole portion. But praise the Lord, we know that this is what the Lord has promised. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. You know, it would do well for us to meditate on that. To keep us in all of our ways. You know what? We need as much keeping in our house as we do out on the road. Do we not? I mean, sure, we feel safe in our house, or hopefully we do. But, you know, there's always the opportunity to, you know, burn yourself, trip and fall, cut yourself, you know, whatever that can happen. Some stranger come to your house, whatever. But this here is keep us in all of our ways. What does that mean? All means all. And if you're, you know, if you're at the mall, and, you know, there's certain public places that we go to now where I think we kind of think, you know, you probably think more about not being as safe because of things that have happened. But we have found in history, recent history, that the church in itself, there is no safe place apart from God. That's the way I want to put it. You know, there is no safe place in the day and the time that we're in. I guess it's never been that way, but it's just magnified more now. But there's no safe place. So he gives his angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. Our part is to simply acknowledge him in all our ways, and he shall direct our paths, protecting us along the way. That's our part. And to acknowledge is just to receive. You know? If somebody knocks on my door and I go, have you ever see who's on the other side of the door and you don't acknowledge them, you don't open up the door, you know, because you don't want whatever, for whatever reason. But, you know, it's like acknowledging God. It would be neat daily to be able to say, you know, God, I acknowledge you keeping me in all of my ways today. You know, I'm opening up the door. I'm releasing my faith. You know, I'm saying I need you. I humble myself before you. You know, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You know, you humble yourself before him and say, you know what, God? I'm acknowledging you. I need you to keep me in all of my ways today. You know, man, that loses angels. As we're going to get over, I don't know if we'll get to it today, but there are certain things we do that releases angels. Now, I want to read you, just because I like the verse, I want to read you Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, but I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible. It says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Listen to this. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who'll keep you on track. I love that. One day I was standing at my kitchen sink, and I was just trying to figure out something on my own. And this came across my thinking, you know, this verse. But I felt like the Holy Ghost said, look at it in the Message. So I did. I went and looked at it in the Message. And it's good verses to live by. Trust God from the bottom of your heart or acknowledge Him. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, He's the one who'll keep you on track. And you know what? If you acknowledge God and you listen for His voice, He'll tell you not to go somewhere. He will. You may not realize it at the time, but you may recognize it later. And, you know, I hope that you pray over your life, that you and your family, whoever you're praying for, that you're going to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right things with the right people. I can't tell you how many times after praying that, I'm standing in a place and there's a delay and I'm getting ready to get irritated and it rises up on the inside of me and I say, okay, God, I'm going to be in the right place at the right time today, doing the right things with the right people. I really believe in that. I really, really believe in that. And but the key to all of this, the version that we read out of this and this version right here, is acknowledging Him. And you say, I acknowledge God. Well, yeah. I mean, I do too, but man, I can get busy. I can get busy. And I'm, you know, I think God loves it when He says, I acknowledge you. You know, as parents or aunts or uncles or whatever we are, don't you love it when the kids that come see you and acknowledge you if you haven't seen them for a while? So, anyway, let's proceed on. Wisdom for protection. Now, if you look, you know, and when as I read this, I said, I don't think anybody that comes to the class that I know of would try to do something, say, okay, God, take care of me. You know, and he has put this in this book because there are people that do this. But we're gonna read it, and you can make some comments about it if you want to. But it says, now if you look carefully at the scriptures that Satan used to try to get our Lord Jesus to throw himself down from the pinnacle of the temple, you will find that it has nothing to do with endangering yourself to test God's protection. Psalms 91:11 through 12 is not encouraging you to throw yourself in harm's way. It is saying is that you go about your daily walk, as you go about the course of your daily life, the Lord will protect you. The Hebrew word for ways shows this clearly. It is the word derek, or direct, which means path, road, or journey. I love that. You know, we're on a journey. And God says that He'll keep us in all of our ways as we're walking along our journey. And as you go about your daily path, whether going to work or heading home, there are times when the enemy may have put snares ahead of you that you're unaware of. But God will give you His angels charge over you to go ahead of you to protect you from those snares. It doesn't mean that you should go and do something foolish and harmful to test God's protection. Even as we trust the Lord for His divine protection, let's exercise wisdom as well. Any comments about that? Anybody want to make a comment about that? Do you know anybody that really likes to take it to the limit? There are people.
It was a minister that I know of that him and his family were moving from the Midwest, and they were packed up the U-Haul. They were going to Florida because they were going to go to Haiti as missionaries for a while. And as they were traveling through Tennessee, he had made plans to stop at a certain place, but he sensed the Lord telling him to go further. Mm-hmm. And so he asked his wife to agree with me, I first saw him. Mm-hmm. We're going to agree, the angels give him charge over us. We're going to stop here, but he had a witness inside to go further.
Wow.
And so, needless to say, they stopped, even though he knew inside he was supposed to go further. And so they stopped, they, you know, pulled off the road, got a motel for the night, and prayed over their stuff. And I woke up the next morning and the trailer was gone. And all their stuff that, you know, the authorities said they'd probably never recover. And, but his point in it was that the inward witness was his protection.
Yeah.
To go further.
Yes.
To not stop. And even though you could pray all day and anoint that trailer with oil, and this is a lesson for all of us,
you know,
that inward witness, what you have, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. So being led by the Spirit, you know, like you said, when you try to figure things out, you try to think, well, I sense God saying this, but I'm going to do this.
Yeah, and it's going to be okay because I'm going to pray Psalms 91 over. But the enemy had, that he's talking about here, the enemy had set up a snare. Isn't it just amazing? This is why God is God. I'm not present. I mean, just knows everything, sees everything. Wow. I guess he learned a lesson from that one, didn't he?
For sure.
Evidently, because he shared it. And yeah. Yes, the inward witness. Thanks, Bob. That's good. Let's go on. You may be familiar with Mark 16:8, which says, if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Now, if someone challenges you to drink poison and you willfully drink it to show that it will not hurt you, that's just being foolish. Psalms 91:11 is talking about the paths you take as part of your normal life. Drinking poison intentionally is certainly not part of your normal life. What Mark 16:18 is saying that you should drink, that should you drink something harmful without realizing it in the course of your day, the Lord will protect you from being harmed. I have a missionary friend who told me how someone had tried to poison him while he was in the mission field. In the end, the person became a believer because he saw the missionary innocently drinking an entire glass of poison and suffering no ill effects. From that time on, he believed in the Lord Jesus, whom he knew had protected the missionary. That's how Mark 16:18 applies. And I know someone, she used to be our next door neighbor where I grew up at. She got married and had a little girl. No, wait a minute. It was her granddaughter. One or the other. But anyway, she was using furniture polish one day. And the liquid kind, and you know, cleaning the furniture. Anyway, the child went over and took a drink of it. And they died. But you know, as a believer, I don't know if she was at the time, or just, you know, you got a believer and you got to know this. I mean, you could apply this to that kind of a situation, because that's your seed there, you know, and you can, I mean, that's how, that's a situation where this could be applied, or like this one, where, you know, you do it by mistake. I mean, God's got us covered every which way, up and down, every which way, covered. Every issue in life that we would ever face, you know, for one thing, he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. But this is why revelation knowledge is so important. You know, we're believers, but you know what? If I may say this and not be irreverent, that don't fix it all. People are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's why it's important that we're here on Sunday mornings. We hear the preaching of the Word. That's why we're here. You know, we've got a Bible, but you know, and I know y'all all open your Bibles, but you hear what I'm saying. It's just like, you know, it's so important, the revelation that is coming to you. And I believe in your quiet time, if you'll ask the Lord to direct you, he'll take you to what you need to go to. Because just like the snares down the road, he knows those. And a lot of those things that come to us down the road come because of what we've been saying with our mouth. Because that's one way how the enemy knows us. And is familiar with us is because of the words that we say out of our mouth. And so, but you know what? The Holy Ghost, oh man, he's wonderful. You sit down with him, you know, Holy Ghost, where do I need to go today? What do you want to say to me today? You know, and he'll lead you. He'll direct you. He'll take you to that place where that revelation will come to you. that'll change your heart, build you up on the inside, and then you'll be better equipped for something that comes down the road. And then, of course, of all things, too, you add on top of that, you spend some time praying in the Holy Ghost, and then the Holy Spirit will pray out those perfect prayers, talk to the Father about it, and some things get eliminated because of that time. You know, I heard a story where this woman went to a meeting, and it was a missionary. Can't remember who the name of that person was, but it doesn't matter. They're well known. They were there doing the meeting, and they talked about something that they had faced while they were on the mission field. And at the end of the meeting, the lady said, "Do you mind if I ask you what day that was?" And she said, "Well, let me, if, you know, I'll look at my journal, but I'm pretty sure it was such and such times." And he looked at it and he confirmed it. And she said, "Well, I just want you to know, from my journal, on that day, I was praying such and such, and I didn't know who I was praying for, but I knew it was somebody on the mission field." And she was praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, because of that, you know, God intervened. You know, the Holy Ghost, He's our teacher, our comforter. He's, you know, He's what God gave us on this earth to bring forth the covenant that we have in Jesus. So, walking in supernaturally natural protection. I hope you realize that God's protection does not always have to come in the form of spectacular angelic interventions. I believe that every day His protection over us is so supernaturally natural that many of us don't even realize that we've been protected. Some of you might have experienced this before. Perhaps you were about to cross a road after checking that all was safe. Then as you were stepping off the curb, you felt something hold or pull you back, and right then a car sped past you. What do you think held or pulled you back? I believe it was an angel, not necessarily spectacularly, but supernaturally protecting you. How do you feel about that? Don't you think we've experienced that?
Mm-hmm.
Probably more times than we could even realize, you know? Wow. That should bring comfort to our heart. You know, y'all all have heard my little issue with riding on interstate, haven't you? Well, I have to give you a praise report. This girl's doing a lot better than she used to. And yesterday we went to Roanoke, and we had a friend with us. And Dusty said, "Do you want to go the old way or interstate?" He always asked me that. And I looked at a friend, and I said, "Which way would you go if you were going?" And they said, "Interstate." I said, "Okay, interstate." So we're going down the interstate, and God's so good. You know, He's working with me about this. And as we were going down the interstate, I said, "Lord, there's more for me than is against me as I travel down interstate." You know, I mean, He just meets us right where we're at, and it's just wonderful. And I sense that losing, it's in the mental realm up here. Of course, it's here, but it can work into your body, too. And all that. But, you know, I feel like He's just taking me by the hand, and He's just let me walk you through this. He doesn't condemn me, you know. It doesn't make me less spiritual, right? Because, you know, I'm just dependent upon Him. And I really appreciate it. I appreciate being able to get in my car, and either whether I'm driving or ride with Dusty, and I really appreciate going down the road and not having torment in my mind about what may happen. And so I got a ways to go, but that's okay. I'm going, and I'm going to get there because the Word of God is working in my heart. But you know, this book, it came right to me. There's more for me out on this road than's against me. Praise God.
Amen.
Anybody want to add anything to that before we move on? Okay, we're good. The next set of scriptures are just wonderful. Some of you may have the impression that angels look like little babies dressed in white togas flying about with bows and arrows. And I know none of us do. Or I hope you don't. If you do, I hope that picture's changing. Isaiah 103, verse 20 through 21, tells us a little about what they're actually like. It says, "Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you minister of His, who do His pleasure." Wow, that is packed big time when it comes to angels and just God's heart, His love for us. They excel in strength. Meditate on that. And we're going to get to something in 2 Kings that really just describes that. But we need to get a picture of that. They excel in strength. I think sometimes, you know, and I've done it, and I believe in knowing my enemy. And y'all know that because you've heard me say that. I believe in that. But there's a fine line that you cross over from knowing your enemy to giving him a lot of credit that he don't need. Okay? And I'm learning that and I'm realizing that. And I think, you know, we just go around and just give angels more credit. You know what I'm saying? Give angels more credit. Just, God, I just thank you. I know my angels are working on my behalf. It looks like the enemy's winning here, but he ain't winning because of, and you can name a lot of things, you know, talk about the covenant, talk covenant and all that. But they excel in strength. And why do they excel? Look at this. Why do they excel in strength? Because they do His word. The angels do His word. I know there's been some question. It's been a question in Carol's class that we do during the school year. You know, do you command angels? There was one book we did that he said you don't command angels. Is that correct? I think that's what it brought a big discussion. You know, angels, I command you to do this and do that and do this and do that. Man, I've read this chapter more than one time, and I have, and I'm not saying that he has the corner on the market, but I know he's got revelation in this book. And so, you know, and it's not anything, how we command them is with the word and praise and worship. That's the two. And so they excel in strength because they do His word, capital H-I-S. They heed the voice of His word, capital H-I-S. Bless the Lord, all you His host, you ministers of His who do His pleasure. And out from that I had written in, His pleasure, meaning God's pleasure, is His word. God's pleasure is His word. From this psalm, we know that angels are strong. They excel in strength. Do you know how strong angels can be? When whoever he is, the evil king of Assyria, laid a siege against Jerusalem, Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, and the Lord sent one angel to the Assyrian camp. Just one angel. And one night, do you know what happened? The Bible tells us that the angel of the Lord went out to the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. That's from 2 Kings 19, verse 35, the NLT. Here's something else about angels. They do His word. They do not I want some comments on this, if you have some. They do not operate outside the boundaries of God's word. Got any thoughts on that?
I kind of see it the same as, you know, calling the police or fire department for help.
Mm-hmm.
The policeman and fireman show up. They are there to protect you and for your aid. They don't report to you.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, they're...
That's a good thought. They don't report to us. Yeah.
But they're there for our aid, and they're charged to protect us and keep us.
So we don't command. We don't walk up to a police officer and say, "I command you." I command you to take care of me. I mean, this is just open for discussion. I'm not going to say anything's right, wrong, or whatever. We listen to what the word says here. But it's very obvious from this that angels excel in strength and they do His word. His word. Now, I believe we can say, "Help me, Jesus." I might not be quoting scripture, but...
Calls on the name of the Lord.
That's right.
That's right. In time of trouble. I was waiting. I figured somebody's going to say something. Mm-hmm. So you know what? I mean, I'm not talking about verbatim. We got to quote the scripture, you know, before angels will be loosed. But you know what I'm saying? I don't want to pick hairs here, but split hairs or whatever. But I think we need to realize the more we speak the word.
It says they hearken unto the voice of the Lord.
That's right.
The voice of the Lord is his word.
It's us. And it's us.
It's us who gives that voice. So.
Yeah. But if you don't know a scripture, you know, I mean, you know, sometimes you don't know a scripture, but you hearken, like you say, help. And y'all gave a scripture for that. And I think it's just knowing that they respond. They respond when we speak.
Well, even when you're praying in tongues,
absolutely,
you pray out mysteries. You unless the Lord shows you, or you ask for revelation, you don't know what you're praying. A lot of times, I just say, Holy Spirit, help me pray out ahead what you will pray,
yes,
especially over the church.
Yeah,
I do that a lot. Help me pray out for CGC ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation for the pastor,
mm-hmm.
Protection for CGC members.
Right.
So you're praying in the spirit, you're praying out things that you don't know you're praying out.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe you're loosing angels.
Oh, yeah.
In that respect.
Absolutely. Because, you know, the Holy Ghost will stand before the Father and remind the Father, you know, of the covenant and talk to him and, you know, speak. You know, he's our advocate. He'll plead our case, you know, before the Father. I think one great way to pray that I love is, you know, I'm learning. Let me say I'm learning because of this. That, like, let's just say, you know, you pick out just a particular person. And I'll just use Dusty's example. And, you know, and I'll say, Father, you know, I want to pray for Dusty. And, you know, and you can say there might be certain things going on or whatever. But there might be a particular scripture. Now, let me back up. This works better for me to explain it because I've done this. I mentioned this one last week. In fact, I wrote down where that scripture's at because I wanted to make sure I told you. Proverbs 11:21, the latter part of it says, "The seed of the righteous shall be delivered." So when I'm praying for my grandchildren, I like to do this. And I'll say, Father, you know, I'm bringing so-and-so before you. And your word says the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Well, I'm learning now. Then when I speak that out, what does that do? It sends angels. It sends angels. And wherever they need to be delivered. And I mean, you can do this. This can be anybody, you know. But this is, anyway. And then you say, Father, I thank you that for Kaylin, you know, I pray your word over her that the seed of the righteous shall be delivered, you know, and I'm expecting that. And I thank you, Father God, that looses angels to go to work on her behalf and bring her deliverance. But then I thank you, Holy Ghost, I'm asking you to pray for her. I love doing that. I say, Holy Ghost, I'm asking you to pray for her. I mean, I just make it personal. And then I just give myself to pray in tongues. And I thought, Lord, have mercy, that child can't get in no trouble. You know what I'm saying? Or if she's in trouble, she's going to get help getting out of trouble. Or however she needs to be delivered. But then you take the word, and you've got angels taking that word, and they excel in strength when you send forth that word. And then they take that word, and they're performing it, you know, in those person's lives. And you add on top of that praying the Holy Ghost. What are you going to see? Answers. You're going to see answers. And you know what? You can do that in your prayer closet, and you can do that driving down the road. You know? Prayer is fellowship. Prayer is relationship. And, you know, no matter where you're at, you know, you're praying for somebody else, and you can say, Father, I thank you. You are so-and-so's refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Thank you. Angels, you're out getting them out of the trouble. You see what I mean? I see it differently. Because now I involve angels in that. You know, I knew about pleading the blood, speaking the name of Jesus, praying the word. But man, this has brought a whole different dynamics to me. That, I'm activating angels. They excel in strength. They're heeding the voice of God's word as I send that out. And then, you know, you don't have to fret over it. Unless if you just choose to. Are we right here? Mm-hmm. And then you can expect, man, you can see things. You know, God, I'm expecting to see things change. It's okay to tell him that. I'm expecting to see it change. I'm doing this. You know what? You've given me instructions from your word how to pray. How to pray. How to fellowship with you. Thank you for those angels that are working on their behalf. Being their refuge. Being their strength. You know, you pray, and you pray like that, angels go in and strengthen them. Hold your arms up. Help them go forward. Not sit down and quit. You know, keep them busy. But then when you add, you add praying in the Holy Ghost to it, and it's like, woo-wee. All right. Anybody want to make a comment before we got on? We got 5 minutes.
Well, years ago, I think, I can't remember who said it. It might have been, I don't know. It was a father in the faith, I know that.
Uh-huh.
He said your angels are, some are not moving because you're not giving them the word, or you're not telling them to move on your behalf. And it was the word dispatch. You need to dispatch.
That's good.
And I just looked that up. I mean, send off to a destination or for a purpose.
Ooh.
So, yep. You know, I just remember that resonating in me. You know, I don't want my angels not busy.
Right.
I want them busy. Yep. You know, whether it's to keep us safe or to go bring in the harvest.
Yes.
You know.
Looking over your kids or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
I just always remember that. Said that.
That's okay. You that shared good. It. That's all right. Yeah, you shared it. That's good.
Tell you, funny, we were at Food Line. This was many years ago. And standing in line, and they were putting the groceries in the, I don't remember if it was paper or plastic. But anyway, so I went to pick the bag up and set it in the cart, you know, to take it out to the car. Well, it was a bad bag.
Mm-hmm.
And it fell out and hit right on the top of my foot.
Ooh.
You know, tan.
Ooh.
And I said, where was my angel at? And that girl looked at me. And immediately, the pain stopped.
Wow.
Just, it is like nothing even happened.
And nothing happened. Wow. Wow.
I said, where was my angel at? But that girl looked at me. Part of that dispatch.
Yeah. Yep.
So the person said we are to dispatch angels. Mm-hmm. What's the difference of that commandment?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just a different word, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, send off to a destination or for a purpose.
Well, if you're not voicing God's word, then you're not going to dispatch them.
Yeah, right. That's my thought. That's you know, but you know. It's been, maybe 2 years now. Time just slips right on by real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Keith Moore talked at Eagle Mountain that God was unhappy with the Eagle Mountain Church because they were not getting the harvest off of their seed. Mm-hmm. And that God was unhappy with that because they were not reaping. And part of that message, if I remember it right, was that they were to command angels to bring in their harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure he worded it just like that, that they were to command angels to go bring in the harvest from the seed they were sowing.
Yeah. I love how God does this because he's orchestrating something right here. Because you used the word harvest when you were talking, and now you brought this. Scripture verse that the Lord brought to my remembrance this morning, and I'm trying really hard to remember it. I didn't look at it, and y'all are going to know this. Somebody in this room is going to know it. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Finish it for me.
Laid up for the righteous is the way I remember
it. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, and we got to find that scripture. We got to find that scripture really quick. Lord, bring that to back to my
life. Wealth of the sinners laid up for the just. That is Proverbs
13:22. Proverbs 13:22. Okay. The Lord ministered this to me this morning, and I was getting ready to leave, and I didn't have time to look for it. Okay, out of the Amplified. A good man leaves an inheritance of moral stability and goodness to his children's children. Now that's the first part. And the wealth of the sinner finds its way eventually into the hands of the righteous for whom it was laid up. Okay? The King James says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. And the Lord reminded me of that. And I don't know how you feel about that scripture verse. I take it for what it says. I've heard different people say different things about it. First of all, you got to see yourself as just. You got to see yourself righteous. Because you'll never stand on this scripture if you don't. And it was like, in my spirit, I thought, you know what, Lord, that's one I can speak out. Because I've been saying, Lord, teach me how to harvest. I have sown, we have sown for years. But you know what, there's harvest to be had. Because if we don't have the harvest, then God was lying. But there's things, and God's not a liar, don't miss it. But there are things that we're responsible for doing. And I think one is to send the angels out to bring in the harvest. But you can say, so you know what? We can say, Father, I thank you. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, and it will find its way into my hands. And when you say that, when you decree it, you declare it, you pray it or whatever, you send, can you see? I'm kind of seeing. Mm-hmm. You send angels out.
I'm sure
you send angels out to go.
To that voice.
Yes, and you know what? There's a lot of sinners that have got bukus of money that needs to come into the kingdom. I know a few of them, and then I don't know. You see what I'm saying? And so I said, okay, I'm going to start doing this. So then some people say, oh, well, the sinner needs to come into the kingdom and this and that. And that is true. And you know what? It may cause them having to bring me their money that will bring them into the kingdom. I mean, I've heard it preached that the person that's, the sinner that's got a lot of money, that they'll get so uncomfortable with their money that they'll want to get rid of it. Now, that's somebody, I just heard somebody teach that. I can't give you no scripture to base it on that. But the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, and it will eventually come into my hands.
Well, it certainly happened in Egypt.
It did, didn't it?
Yes.
It's a perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
It happened in Egypt. Old covenant. We're new covenant. We're on a better covenant. And you know what? God knows who. He knows who will take that. When it comes into our hands, he knows who he can trust with what they do with it.
The scripture always stuck out to me was Ecclesiastes 2:26 when it comes to that sort of thing. It says, for God giveth to the man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he gives travail to gather and to heap up that he may give to him that is good.
That's good.
Before God. That he may give to him that is good before God.
Yeah.
This also is vanity and vexation of spirit.
Yes. It's Ecclesiastes 2. Okay.
2:26.
Okay. So that fits with that. So for whatever reason, I believe God orchestrated that so that we can bring that out in the open. You can take that. You talk to him about it. He'll show you whether or not. He'll just talk to you. You talk to the Holy Ghost about it. Everything I give you, share with you, you take it home, you talk to the Holy Ghost about it. He'll show you. What's right, maybe what's not, or whatever, give you revelation. But, you know, that's what, you know, is God waiting on that for us to put a demand on that, to send angels out?
Sure is.
Yeah, put a demand on it. You know what, because we're givers. We're not going to heap it on ourselves. We're just going to be a channel. Mm-hmm. Keep on giving it out. Build the buildings that need to be built. Do what needs to be to bring in the harvest of souls.